When I was a bit younger, I used to listen to a lot of lectures by our teacher, Sangharakshita. And he used to do lots of lectures in series of eight, you know, eight lectures on a particular topic, which probably some of you have heard some of these series. But one of the characteristics of these series was and is that as the series progressed, his introduction got longer and longer and longer because he recapped every other lecture in the course of the next one. So I'm going to try and avoid doing that, but I will offer some kind of recap from last week to start us off, particularly for those that perhaps missed last week, or even if you didn't, perhaps to tune in again. So last week, very much, I offered an overview, an introduction to Mahayana Buddhism. And I suggested that one way that we could see it is to understand it in terms of a dimension of the imagination, as much as it might be a set of historical Buddhist traditions. And so I'd like to continue with that idea. I'd like you to continue to reflect on that idea, that the Mahayana Buddhism is a dimension of the imagination. And I think that will become still clearer this evening. Besides that, I did talk about Mahayana Buddhism in its more historical sense. And I talked about it in terms of a particular system called the Triyana system. Triyana meaning three paths or three ways. If you remember, I characterized the first of those paths or ways as Nikaya Buddhism, and I'll say a bit more about that later. The second of those paths or ways was Mahayana, the Mahayana Buddhism, and finally there was Vajrayana Buddhism, which is also known as Tantric Buddhism. Once I'd done that, I then tried to characterize Mahayana Buddhism in terms of some of its distinguishing features, and I identified six distinctive features that I looked at in a little bit of detail. So first of all, I talked about Mahayana Buddhism having a distinctive literature, and in particular I talked about some of its literature being a literature of the fantastic, or transcendental science fiction was also a term that I used. I think we'll get a bit more of a flavour of that this evening, because I will be reading out one or two passages. In addition to that, next week that is the focus of the lecture, more specifically looking at Mahayana Buddhist texts. Secondly, I looked at the Mahayana's conception of the Buddha, and indicated that it has a distinctive conception of who the Buddha is, if you like, what the Buddha is, or indeed what the Buddhas are. Thirdly, I briefly talked about the Mahayana conception of the spiritual ideal, and that is the theme for this evening's talk, so I'll return to that in a moment. The fourth emphasis that I picked out was that Mahayana Buddhism has distinctive conceptions of the path towards awakening. I used the term soteriology, which is quite a fancy word for talking about a path to liberation, or indeed the goal of liberation. And I talked a little bit about some of the different traditions, such as Pure Land Buddhism, which I may touch on again this evening. The fifth distinctive emphasis that I mentioned was the distinctive philosophical ideas that are found within Mahayana Buddhism, and I think I briefly talked about some of the emphases on the priority of mind as found in Yogacara Buddhism. Again, I'll be returning to this theme in the fourth lecture, so we'll say more about that then. And finally, I talked about some of the distinctive practices that are found in Mahayana Buddhism. I made reference, for instance, to sutra worship, to the practice of koans within Zen Buddhism, and also Buddha cults, traditions devoted towards particular Buddha figures. So the theme for this evening is the Bodhisattva ideal. Briefly, Bodhisattva means awakening being. A Bodhisattva is a being that is awakening, that is on the path towards awakening. And it's possible, I can't be sure of this, but it's possible that the Bodhisattva ideal is the most spectacular conception of human possibility that has ever been thought of. Certainly in my eyes it is. I remember when I first came across it, it completely blew my mind. Going back to Sangharakshita, our teacher once more, one of his famous lecture series was on the Bodhisattva ideal, and he gave a series of 8 lectures which you can now see in a book in edited form. And going through those lectures, listening to those lectures and taking notes was a deeply inspiring and transformative moment of my life. And I've always been inspired by the Bodhisattva ideal, and I still am. So hopefully some of that will come across as we go through. Yeah, so the Bodhisattva ideal for Mahayana Buddhism encompasses or embodies the ideal Buddhist life. The Bodhisattva is the ideal Buddhist. It embodies the ideal pattern of conduct, and in particular an especially elevated set of ethical values. It also embodies the ideal accomplishments of the Buddhist spiritual life. So the Bodhisattva, if you like, is the Mahayana Buddhist saint, you could say. So in introducing the Bodhisattva ideal, in trying to offer some kind of account of it, I'm going to do a few things. First of all, I'm going to take a bit of a step back into Buddhist history and try to understand or try to explore a little bit the context, that is the historical and cultural context from which the idea of the Bodhisattva emerged, because I think if we do that, it will help us to understand why it speaks in the way that it does. Secondly, I want to briefly describe the Bodhisattva goal, the goal of the Bodhisattva, but also the path towards that goal. And that will mean in particular looking at a pattern of training called the 6 perfections, or the 10 perfections in some cases, and the 10 stages to awakening. The image that I've thrown up for you, the title of it is Bodhisattvas of the 10 Stages. So these figures, this painting of these figures, exemplifies the most elevated spiritual condition, you could say. These represent the highest states of being and consciousness, these Bodhisattva figures. Yeah, but the other thing that I want to do as well is to explore a little bit about how the idea of the Bodhisattva evolved from being perhaps something that we might practice as ordinary individuals and that we might aspire to and become, towards the idea that it was something, the Bodhisattva ideal was something that is accomplished by transcendent beings, even visionary beings, beings which we can somehow enter into communion with or communication with, and even receive blessing, support and help from. So I'll come on to that issue or that area towards the end of the talk.